Welcome to The Watchman, a great teaching about Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think. And now, here is The Watchman.
Praise the Lord. You know, it's amazing the way certain things are over a period of time. The clarity, the truth of the clarity of them is being reviewed constantly, either through experience or through just increased knowledge, as is increased knowledge of the Word of God. And then events happening which actually make the Word of God look clearer. And then you realize that scriptures which you thought, or things which you thought you knew in a certain way, while that way is not necessarily wrong, you understand the full thing clearer as time goes on and the events begin to happen. Today, earlier this week, I was listening to, I don't even know what led me there, to a gentleman who was talking about, actually it was Jimmy Swaggart. So there were these classic crusades of Jimmy Swaggart from the 1980s, at the time when he was on all national televisions. And so I was just listening to him because I was trying to see what was it about him that fascinated so many people. Because, you know, people would run home to watch Jimmy Swaggart. I'm not talking about born-again people. I'm talking about people generally. Would run home 6 p.m. on Sunday on UTV to watch Jimmy Swaggart. And of course, I wanted to be reminded of his so many things about him, a bit of, you know, nostalgia and all that, and his oratory skills. But anyhow, for this time he was talking about the signs of the end time, but that was from 1984. It was a video from 1984, and then I remember him talking about them, and of course, for the most part, he was very right. Then he gets to a part where he says, the seas will be roaring. You know, the seas will be roaring. Then he says that, of course, the Bible doesn't mean that literally. And there's no way in 1984 somebody would actually think that seas roaring was something the Bible meant literally, seas roaring. You understand? And so, of course, he had an interpretation of it. Seas means this. And what? And sometimes a lot of the Bible things, people add symbols, yet the message is just clear. Sea is going to be roaring. Of course, from 1984, nobody could have known. And even his knowledge, the knowledge he was imparting in 1984 was extraordinary for somebody at that time. But then, 20 years later, in 2004, the seas actually roar, and then we are introduced to the word tsunami. Then we realize Jesus actually meant seas roaring. It is not some symbolic, you know, something. And now there are so many other things which over the years we've committed to symbol, you know, to symbols. He meant this. This means that. You see, if you do that, then you derive it. Yet actually there's nothing to derive. It is as clear as, he just put it there. And it was not meant to be understood by the people who were there. Perhaps they wouldn't have, except by revelation. But he knew that the people who live in the time, you know, the sea and the waves roaring. So he was running through all of this. There will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. And on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring. Now, it took a whole 20 years for us to know sea and waves roaring. Of course, there have been a number of tsunamis since that one which happened in Asia. There was one in Japan and so on. That he actually meant sea and waves roaring. And, you know, coming with several feet of water coming onto the coast now. But then, here when he talks about the sun, signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, now these are things which you read, you understand, but then you only have understood like a small fraction of it until times go on and on, then you realize that actually, there were so many signs. Now when you read this and you read, let's say, Isaiah chapter 13, verse 10, it says, for the stars of the heaven and their constellation will not give their light, and the sun will be darkened in its going forth. Now, of course, it could literally mean the sun will be will no longer be as strong, if that was the word, as it is supposed to be. The sun will be weaker. The sun will be darkened in its going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine. Now also in Joel chapter 3, we can start from verse 12, just so that we see the context of it. Let the nations be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit and judge all the surrounding nations. Then it says, put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Now we know that this word was made alive in our lives. Amen? Last year. Then it goes on to say, in verse 14, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Now we know where that is going to be. Then it talks about the sun. Now, that time when I discovered this whole thing of the building of the temple, the time of harvest, and then the sun and the moon growing dark, because at the beginning, in January 2019, there was a major solar eclipse. And that's what I was looking up to try and see. And then I realized that here it talks about the year of harvest. The harvest is ripe. Then it talks about, that solar eclipse. And so they come together. But then it also says the sun and the moon will grow dark. Also, which can also mean they will diminish in their strength. Now, I was just checking through some of the things I sometimes check through. Then I discovered that according to NASA, what is NASA in full? North Atlantic what? National Space Agency. Yeah? It's National Space Agency. Okay. According to NASA, we are entering a cycle where the sun is going to be starting January 2020, the month in which we are, where the sun is going to be at its weakest. Actually, the signs of it have already started happening, as I'm going to show you, some of you. Now, they say that this cycle, now what happens is the earth goes through so many, they call them rotation, the sun and the way it relates with earth goes through so many rotations. This was discovered somewhere around 1750 something by, but then of course it has been perfected as you'd expect. Now they know that every 11 years there is a change in parts which were supposed to be this pole and now the other pole. So now it's almost like, the earth moving around the sun and different whatever. So they call it solar rotations or something like that. But now they say that the one that is starting in 2020, January, is going to be, represents the weakest the sun is going to be or has been in 200 years. So the sun is the weakest it has been in 200 years. And it says it only just started in January, but it is going to peak in 2025 when the sun is very weak and does not produce the amount of, energy that it ordinarily is supposed to produce. Now, as a result of that, there have been phenomena which very few people have noticed because, of course, the news media will only cover what fits into their narrative. So if it doesn't, they will not cover it. But there have been interesting things, some of which, of course, you've heard about them, others you've not heard. Now, for instance, in January this month, the whole of the city of Cairo was filled with snow. Now, of course, when the sun is weaker, that means it's much colder. Now, Cairo in snow, that's even worse than Kampala in snow. You understand? Because Cairo is supposed to completely covered in snow, and then the pyramids covered in snow, not in dust and not in sand as it is supposed to be. Not in sand, not in dust, but in snow. The pyramids covered in snow. And then camels, which are supposed to be desert animals, lying down in snow in Cairo. And now that is Katandi Kabutandis. Because that was just January this year. Now, elsewhere there have been increasing signs that the sun is losing its power. Now, of course, all this points towards, that whole thing of the earth is in travail, trying to give birth to another earth, the same thing. Now, so incredible scenes of snow in places. Jerusalem, snow. Covered in snow. Of course, now they have winters. But the winters are something like 8 degrees, 9 degrees. Not enough to snow. They're just cold. Now, I wouldn't be shocked if in this time period, around mid-year, we also see incredible winters. Okay? But then Joel 3:15 goes on to say, 16 says, the Lord also will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and the earth will shake, but the Lord will be a shelter for his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Now, the Lord will be a shelter for what? For his people. But there's going to be a lot of this because then I also read on the same NASA thing that the North Pole, which is supposed to be somewhere around the Arctic, over Arctic, whatever, is now moving very fast towards Russia at the pace of 34 miles a year. So now they are having to change, adjust the compasses where you knew magnetic north. This is where the north is. So now the north is moving and will very soon be in Siberia in Russia. Now the whole world, so you know when it says that I will shake the earth, it actually is talking about, because it says that in Isaiah chapter 24, I think 24 verse 19, it says, the earth is violently broken, the earth is split open, the earth is shaken exceedingly, okay? The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard. You remember we read that one time, eh? And shall totter like a hat, like a kasisi, right? You know, it's supposed to be stronger, but totters like us. And its transgression shall be heavy upon it, and it will fall and not rise again. And shall come also to pass in that day that the Lord will punish on high the host of the exalted ones, and on earth the kings of the earth. Now, of course, we are fast forward towards, you know what, towards the end. But then, these 5 years, according to those, you know, those scientists. So, the first year, the sun loses some of its energy, and you're having snow in North Africa. Now, what else is going to, and then, in places where they usually have snow, I think there are some pictures I got here of, these are the pyramids covered in snow. You see a camel lying down in snow. It must be confused. Because, I mean, what is this? It's used to enduring the harshest, hottest weather conditions. Now it is suddenly finding itself lying down in snow. It must be wondering what has happened on earth. What's wrong? What on earth is this? Go ahead. Those are now pyramids covered in snow. That is not, that's like real snow covering the pyramids in Egypt. Okay. Now you look at this. This is in Egypt. As you can see, the camels walking and it's snowing. They can endure sandstorms. They can endure what? They can go out many days without water, no problem. But I'm sure they are confused by the snow. Saying, now what on earth is happening here? Now, the others also about, now this is in Canada. These are the places where they usually have snow. That is walking down the street to go and buy bread down, somewhere down. And you have to wade through snow like that. Now, it's only just beginning. The earth is only just beginning to lose its what? The sand rather beginning. Now, they had to dig up snow in this city in Canada. Like, cars were buried in snow. Completely buried in snow. And of course, these are places which experience snow, but not this level where they are burying cars and houses, lower floors, all covered in snow. So it's only the higher floors. Now you look at these are storied houses. This is a street. And that's a man walking down the street, almost up to his waist in snow. And of course, it's not usual. You understand? All this is January 2020. And according to those guys, it's going to last how many years? 5, up to 2020. And of course, that's not the only, snow is not the only phenomenon. Now, what happens is when some places are becoming extremely cold. Now, places where they are used to too much cold are becoming extremely cold. Now, places which are not used to cold, of course, like Egypt, then are also becoming cold. But then, others, certain things happen, which are also a result of the earth reeling to and fro. For instance, show us, this is the volcano in the Philippines. It spewed lava up to 9 miles in the air. Think about it, 9 miles. And the people are there and pew, it's almost like you're seeing fireworks. Only fireworks don't even go a few meters. The ones you watch on, you know, New Year's. And how many meters do they go? Maybe around 30, 40 meters. Maybe maximum 50, 60 meters. But now imagine people are living in a place and the thing spews lava 9 miles in the air. And it's real. And of course it starts, you know, and then the ash and all that, and then villages are, look at that. I mean, by the way, it's because these are things which have been idle and idle and idle because the earth has been in its place. But the scripture says that he will shake the earth and it will reel to and fro like a drunkard, where now nobody can predict, because the whole 11-year cycle and what is based on clear predictions which have been in place throughout the generations. Okay? 11 years, it goes here, then it goes like this, then it goes like this. It's so predictable. You know? It does not move straight around the sun. We know that. It kind of... But even in its swinging, it is predictable swinging. They measure the degrees. But now we're having a case where they are saying it might lose over this period from the previous one up to between 30 and 50% of its power, the sun. That is a lot. That's a lot. That's like really, really bad. Okay. Now, so everything in it erupts. Now, then you ask yourself now, this is the things which make people fear, and you know. Now, if you don't understand that the Lord will be the protection of his people, because there is no certainty. Then there's another one I saw about the, the smoke from the Australian bushfires. Now, that one almost was miraculous. It circled the whole earth and went back to Australia. You go and read the newspapers. It circumvented the whole earth, the dark smoke from the Australian fires moved, and then it was almost going from city to city. Eh? And then people have dark clouds on the city suddenly. Then it moves to another city. It was in South America, from Australia. That's some movement. And then it wasn't vanishing. It was almost going like a cloud. And then it goes right back to where it came from in Australia. You read that. Praise the Lord. Now, the earth being in travail, awaiting the birth of a new earth, we know that the Bible says the earth will grow old and will become unpredictable and will be something that nobody can predict. Amen? It's the whole reading from to and fro, like a drunkard, is confusing everybody. That's why you're having extremely hot summers, where there are bushfires starting by themselves. Of course, there's a lot of arson. Now, the people will try to explain it using climate change and all that, but it's too much. Climate change does not cause volcanoes to erupt. So does carbon dioxide go down there and cause the volcano to erupt? Because they are saying carbon dioxide emissions and so on. But that's just science trying to explain things which are in the Bible. But if the earth is moving around the sun in an unpredictable way, like a drunkard, then you can't predict. Some summers will be very hot, where people, especially old people, are dying, and others will be very cold. And you have a summer, but temperatures are 10 degrees, 8 degrees in summer, when they are supposed to be in the 30s. So, complete confusion, and nobody knows what to do. Then, you know that scripture in Romans chapter 8, verse 20, Romans 8, 20, it says, "For creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." Now, of course, I was telling you that there was a time when I was convinced of all this. Imagine you read this scripture in Revelation chapter 16, talking about the seventh bowl, verse 17. And it says, "And the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as has not occurred since men were on earth. Now the great city was divided into three parts. Now imagine, there was a time way back when people would say a city divided in three parts, that has got to be symbolic. I think there was a part of those who are evil and a part of those who are good, and then there was a part of those who are undecided, like almost heaven, hell, purgatory kind of thing. But then the city is going to be divided in three. Earthquake. Now, I actually only discovered this some time ago that everything here was direct. There's no figure of speech. There's no symbolism. And the great Babylon was remembered before God to give her a cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Then every island fled away and the mountains were not found. Now, the mountains were not found. How is somebody supposed to believe this? But then I discovered that it actually means the mountains were flattened. And the earth was set afresh. And that is exactly what is going to happen. There is no figure of speech here. Islands were taken away. You know that the earth was together. Eh? It was only separated after, you know. These continents and all that. Amen? Otherwise, there's no people would have populated places like Africa because they could not make boats that could cross the ocean those years. So it was together. And it just split off, you know. By Africa, actually, I mean Europe, because it said this, but it doesn't, maybe that's rubbish. But the point is this, every island fled away and the mountains were not found. And a great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. Men blasphemed God because of the plague and of the hail, since the plague was exceedingly great. Now imagine a scenario where every cities, mountains, islands, everything is rearranged by one earthquake at the time of Jesus' coming. And now, so when you read about every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted, of course, there are all sorts of facets to that. But then the truth is, cities which have not been planted by God will be uprooted. And they are the majority. Amen? Now, there are people who are building cities right now at the instruction of God. So it says, they looked to a city whose builder and maker was God. That is both talking about the New Jerusalem, but also talking about cities here on earth. Because we are not going to be in the New Jerusalem during the millennium. We are going to be living here on earth. Okay? In the millennial rule of Jesus Christ. So now, he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, the builder and maker is God. The cities will first be here on earth before we go to the New Jerusalem, which actually is the fulfillment of all that. Now, a lot of figure of speech in this period that we are in, when the earth is reeling to and fro, so many things are going to happen which will confound people, and they have no idea. Now, recently, we know that most of the outbreaks of sicknesses are created by people who are trying to reduce population. Okay? Yeah, but recently one came which they don't understand. You know, AIDS, what? Ebola, all those are created by laboratories, by people who want what? To reduce population. Okay? But now one comes in China, which confuses everybody. First of all, it spreads. They are not yet sure, but so easily, almost like a flu. Then it has a gestation period of 1 week. That means it takes you a week to discover somebody is sick. Imagine the places somebody can go in a week. And how many people you would have spread it to before you discover it. Then what they did, then they have no idea as to how to cure it. No idea whatsoever. And then they say the thing enters the body and mutates. In other words, it's not the same virus. When it goes from one body to another, it becomes a different virus. So even if you get somebody who has it and try to get and get whatever, a cure for it, when it enters another person, it's a different thing. Now, how do you handle something like that? So what they've done is, in China, where it has come from, they have just blocked off a whole town. Now imagine if you're in that town. You need to know about divine healing. Eh? Because what they are basically saying, in order to save the whole world, we're going to have to sacrifice you guys. Now, because all these other ones, they know everything about how to handle it, how to stop it from what, everything is known. Then they come up and say, now we have a vaccine for Ebola. But what they are doing is actually spreading other sicknesses through the vaccine for Ebola. The usual thing, okay? Done by those men, Bill Gates and whom pastors quote on pulpits, you know? Bill Gates said, And the man is a Satanist, doing like deep Satanism work. Dark-hearted, very, very wicked, who is willing to kill a third of this population because, you know, those are people who get instructions directly from the God of this world. Directly. You see? So the thing just shows up. Now, but then, they are celebrating their New Year's over 24th, the 24th or 25th, the Chinese New Year. I think it's 24th January. So now they are just entering the new year. Now that is the time when everybody travels and goes on holiday and what, and so on. And so now you are supposed to be containing a virus, and now everybody is traveling across the country. People are going to villages to go and, you know, enjoy the New Year's with their relatives. Man, that you just have to believe in God. Because now, even the people, because, you know, they try to lock people in the city. But then they discovered the virus in America. So much for locking people in the city. And it came from China. Then the thing ends up in what? In America. Now that thing of people will fear because of what? Men's hearts will fail them because of fear. The truth is, we are getting to a time when you either have God or you are in serious trouble. Do you understand? Where if you do not believe in the protective power of God, you have nothing left to believe in. Because all the systems of the world on which people are built, their things are all crumbling. And the people have no answers whatsoever. They will say climate change, carbon emissions and all that. But you can't explain the things which are happening here. Now you wait, you see the summer. There will be places where there is no summer. It's like a continuation of winter. And then other places where there will be extremely hot summers, where temperatures are recorded in 50 degrees centigrade and old people are dying. It happened in France this last, where I don't know how many elderly people died because of heat exhaustion. Heat exhaustion, praise the Lord. And it's getting worse, but it's getting better for us, praise the Lord. Now, this is where the judgment of the Lord comes in, where you are either on God's side, okay? And the country is either singled out as a land allotted to the righteous, praise the Lord, or if it is not, catastrophe after catastrophe, and people, you know, they try to look for answers and so on, but catastrophe after catastrophe, earthquakes, I told you, earthquakes, bushfires, you know, thunderings, lightning, the means by which God does what? Punishes people. Isaiah 29 verse 6. And you will be punished by the Lord of hosts with thunder and earthquake and great noise, with storm and tempest and the flame of devouring fires in Australia. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And it's judgment. Until the nations of the world. But now the funny thing is, the Bible says they will not even repent even when that happens. They are not interested in turning. They have decided what they want. Now it will come from judgment to judgment to judgment to judgment. But if there is a remnant of, you know, of God-fearing people in that nation, they can stand up and intercede for the nation. But you see now those nations have pushed their believers in the corner somewhere. Somewhere in a corner, you cannot talk about your Christianity because you'll be offending Muslims. Okay, now you suffer with the Muslims. That's what happened in Indonesia. They destroyed 10,000 churches in Indonesia. When earthquakes came, they started in the place where there were mosques, and they were turning mosques upside down, people being buried in mosques. Now, those churches you closed were the protective cover. Now, there is no trying to pretend over what politically correct and what judgment of God has no political correctness. Amen? You're either on his side or you're not. So imagine if you take this and put it. Can you imagine he's saying that, you know, people are being buried because they are more. Yes! That's what the Bible says. If you go and close all the churches and there is no protection, that's what's going to happen. And now not getting people to not talk about it, you know, you're going to offend Muslims or what? And all that political correctness gab that people do. Let them be offended. Do they care when they're offending me? But the good thing is this. That shaking which he talks about in Isaiah chapter 24. In Isaiah 24, it says the shaking is not just in the constellations, in the earth and in the moon and in what? It's also a shaking of the systems of the world. And a shaking that has a direct impact on who is on top and who is not. The whole of Isaiah 24, by the way, is a very interesting chapter, if you understand it. So you can go and read Isaiah 24, if you understand it. If you don't understand it, just come to Watchman next, what? Or another Fridays thereafter. Okay. Now, you look at how it talks about contrasting. Let's start from verse 1. Behold, the Lord makes the earth empty and makes it waste, distorts its surface, and scatters abroad its inhabitants. Then it says, as with the priest, so with the as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with the master. But go to verse 7. It says, in verse 7, the new wine fails, the vine languishes, all merry-hearted sigh, the mouth of tambourine ceases, the noise of jubilant ends, the joy of the harp ceases, they shall not drink wine with a song, strong drink is bitter to those who drink it, but it's supposed to be bitter, isn't it? But it's okay, maybe bitterer. A city of confusion is broken down, every house is shut up so that none may go in. There is a cry for wine in the streets. All joy is darkened. Okay, now then go to verse 14. We'll stop there. Go to verse 14. They shall lift up their voice. They shall sing for the majesty of the Lord. Now the other ones are crying. These ones are celebrating. Now here is the judge and it says, for the majesty of the Lord, they shall cry aloud from the sea. Therefore glorify the Lord in the dawning light, the name of the God of Israel in the coastlands of the sea. From the ends of the earth, we have heard songs. There they say the song has ceased. People are crying. Now here we are hearing songs. Glory to the righteous. But I said, I am ruined. Woe to me. The treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously. Indeed, the treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously. Now, here it's talking about, you know, the difference in what. But there's a particular scripture I want us to read. Because it talks about this period. Verse 23, it says, the moon will be disgraced, the sun ashamed. The sun ashamed. Which means it's no longer as strong as it's supposed to be. For the Lord of hosts will reign on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem. Then it says in 23 verse 15. It says, Isaiah 23. Now it shall come to pass in that day that Tyre, this talk about the same period, that Tyre will be forgotten 70 years according to the days of one king. And I told you that time that empires that have ruled the world somehow have a 70-year lifespan. And I don't know why that is, but somehow they come and go after 70 years. The communist empire came, 1919, the Bolshevik Revolution, what? Joseph Lenin, Vladimir Stalin, what? And all that, bam. Then after that, 1989, the Berlin Wall comes down. 70 years, okay? Then, 1949, this European whatever, the West, the so-called West. But you notice now the West is splitting. As we come closer to their 70-year period. Not closer, actually, we've arrived the 70-year period. The West is splitting. America seems to go its own way and what. Now that is symbolic of Tyre and its 70 years. And it says, because they are the ones who, as it will happen to Tyre as in the song of the harlot. Go ahead, verse 17, it says, and shall be at the end of 70 years that the Lord will deal with Tyre she will return to her hire and commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world on the face of the earth. You know what fornication is? Eh? Anybody who has, you know, been attending knows what fornication is. Not the one that is taught, you are taught in school. But here he's talking about spiritual what? Fornication. Her gain and her pay. But that's why this guy is a rapper. Tyre will return to her hire. Her gain and her pay will be set apart for the Lord. The gain of Babylon and the kingdom will be set apart for what? It will not be treasured nor laid up for her again. For her gain will be for those who dwell before the Lord to eat sufficiently and for fine clothing and for good cars. Behold, the Lord makes the earth empty and makes it waste, distorts its surface and scatters abroad its inhabitants. This might be Greek to some of you. Eh? This is an English Bible, not a Greek one. But what it is saying is the shaking of the earth, as we've seen outside there, is actually a shaking of the systems of the earth, where the people who fear God wind up on top. Praise the Lord. And even NASA has given us a time period. Eh? They have even told us, given us a 5 period. Starting right now up to when? Where the people, and by the way, it's mostly like, not even 2020, it's mostly 2020 and 2021 in terms of the people of the Lord, winding up on top in everything. Where the system of the world that has kept them together is actually dismantling and is falling apart. And their control is fading. Now, this week, there was what? The Davos. Remember the Davos, Switzerland? Eh? The World Economic Forum. Where the people who are supposed to be controllers of this world and its destiny stand and they start giving predictions of what the world is going to be like. You know, the gap between the haves and the have-nots has increased. 98% of the world's wealth is owned by 2% of the world's richest, and so on and so forth. And they cry about it, then they say, we go for charity. We have to help people, charity and all that. That's Davos. That's what they talk about. They are internationalists. They are globalists, rather. The people who believe that the world is one big place. They're supposed to do business elsewhere, and so on. Now, 2 years ago, when Donald Trump went there, his first time to go there as the president of America, to Davos, he was given a cold shoulder. Nobody wanted to listen to him because for him he was preaching nationalism. You know his thing, America first, what? We don't care about your globalist thing. For me, I want to, you know, America first. Then the projection was how his experiment is not going to work. These things are set in stone. You cannot do this. You cannot turn the systems around. Now, he was there again this week, this very week, actually, I think on Monday. And then, while they were projecting, the first people who came and spoke were projecting there's going to be a recession and an economic downturn and things like that. Then for him, he came and spent 20 minutes blowing his trumpet about the things which could not be done, which he has done in America. Right now, we've reduced unemployment. We've done this. We've doubled what? The stock exchange is going higher. We've done, people are becoming richer. And then also, he told them, this was interesting. He said that right now, the poorest people in America are having their wages increased 5 times more than the richest people. So the income inequality is reducing. And that is not through charity. Charity is a way of keeping the income inequality. He said, we've not done it through charity. We've done it through creating economic conditions that suit the people at the bottom. Now, after blowing his trumpet for 20 minutes, he said nothing else. He was just talking about his achievements. Now, all of them were silenced because there were so many things which could not be done. You could not go in an economic war with China. He did. And humiliated them. They ended up signing a deal with him. Okay? You could not pull out of the Iran agreement, he did. You could not get out of the Paris agreement, he did. You could not do that, he did. He did this. Now, where their system, which they have set up for so many years, this is the whole entire thing. Because they have worked hard to create that system where you either join them or you're broke. Now, even the system of this country, which these people have spent 30-something years creating, and they think they've done something, it is going to crumble in a day. If the ones set by Bazungu 70 years is crumbling like this, how much more this one? So the system, like all these things, somebody has built their thing so this whole globe. I don't understand whether you people understand how this globalist thing, they have spent all their lives trying to build it in a way where there is no middle class. There is the people who the haves, the top most people, the cabinet, you know, of the God of this world. Then in between there are the professionals who help those people stay there. That includes people like scientists, bankers, and so on. Then everybody else who is allowed to live is just a slave, basically, given the means to live. You have no right to... Now, something else I was seeing in America, which shows how things have changed in 3 years. Do you know that for the first time they have the highest number of house owners who are below 35? Now, that does not please those people. Because the way that system is set up is you're supposed to have a mortgage and pay it until you almost retirement. That's how you remain a slave. And it's actually slavery. So they will make sure they give you things on credit up to beyond your potential. So you come out, you get your first job and what? First of all, you have a student loan. So you have to pay for your college before you even start working. Then as soon as you get your first job, they won't wait for you to first pay your student loan. No, they don't want you to pay. They want you to pay with your life. So what they do, they will give you, you know, then take this house, take this car, take this, take that. Then now, you spend all of your life on debt. They're even offering holidays on debt. I was seeing it the other day in British newspapers. Take a loan to go on holiday. And you can pay in 5 years. The problem with that is you're going to need another holiday next year. And you also need 5 years to pay. Do you understand? So who is there giving debt to people? How can you give debt for somebody to go for a holiday? Eh? If somebody tells you they are giving you debt money for school fees, what about next term? Would you have paid it back? Because it's a recurring expenditure. You're going to need to pay again and pay again. So then, now when you have a scenario where people are finished and now they're homeowners, 35 years and below, you know that there has been a boom. People have had a lot of money and they have cleared their debt. Now that scares the system of this world. That scares them because now they no longer have something by which to hold those people. Praise the Lord. Now, if that system was not destroyed by God, that system which the Bible calls Babylon, if it was not destroyed by God, you would see. They would turn everybody into a slave. Everybody. You can't shift, you can't move, you can't do anything because where is our money? Now, even democracy dies. Because when you're in that state, you cannot even afford serious political activity. So you have to be fed what you're told and what. Now, that's how they slowly and surely kill democracy. But the system is failing. And it has failed, and you can see everywhere else. And here it's going to fail very, very badly. And the Lord told me that. This year, you're going to see so many people who are next year, so many people who were on top being at the very bottom, very, very bottom, and many who are at the bottom being on top. And then you turn around and look, and the whole thing has been turned on its head. Now, if the earth is shaken, how can somebody think that because you've been 33 years, how many years has the earth been here? How many years? But God just sits where he is and shakes it like this. Then you see fires, snow in the desert, and they're just shaking it a little. And not even too much, just a little. Eh? Just a few degrees, by the way. Eh? A few degrees, just shakes it a little. And he says it's just internal, but there will be more shaking. Now, when the earth shakes, the systems of the world shake as well. Now, I am absolutely sure that there is nothing for anybody who fears the Lord to be concerned about, to be worried about. It is well. I am telling you, it is well. Now, those people who don't believe in God, there is not going to be peace for you. You will see. Because when judgment comes, it comes. And God delays it, and 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 delays it. And then people start thinking, no, we are on top. And they are not. Now you look at people who seem to be in charge. Like a number of them. Eh? And it's like there's something eating them up. Have you seen them? Eh? I'm talking about many, not one or two people. I'm talking about many. Then you look and say, eh? It's like they are withering. Hallelujah. It's like they are what? Eh. So then they go back to their witchcraft and try to what? The kingdom of darkness has been dethroned in this country. They can, you can go to all the witchcraft you want. Eh? It is not going to help anybody. I am telling you. But that doesn't mean people will not try to go there again. But they are wasting their time. They are absolutely wasting their time. It is not going to be as it was before. It is not. Now, the systems, even of the world, it's shaken, shaken. Somebody comes and says, I'm going to do everything differently. Everything different. Everything. They tell him, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that, you cannot do this, you cannot do that, you cannot do that. All the things he said they could not, he said he could not do, he did them. Then they said, now it's going to start third world war. Where is the war? Where is the war? Now, if God be for us, who can be against us? Praise the Lord. There is nobody who is going to be against us. I'm telling you. And the truth is this. This reality is not yet sinking in what? In the children of God as much as it should. This is why, like, you have to present a lot of evidence, that, you know, now you see even this is like this. And all, so that the children of God start really, really understanding that, by the way, the whole thing is being shaken for a purpose. And that is for a purpose of certain people to be on top. And the quality, or rather the qualification, is just one. I have God. God is on my side. Amen? And there is nothing. Even the things which people come to do, which are supposed to be against you, and you just see how it works all together in your favor, and then they look stupid. Praise the Lord. Even when you make mistakes, and you come out of them looking good. Because God is on your side. And then those who don't have God, even when they do the right thing, they come out what? Looking bad. Like Abimelech. You know that guy Abimelech, eh? In the Bible? Who saw Abraham's wife and said, is she your wife? Says, no, she's my sister. Says, okay, I want her. Then God goes and messes the guy up. God appears to him at night and says, you are in serious trouble. If you do not restore that man's wife, you're dead. You're a dead man. Then the guy says, but I've not done anything wrong. He's the one who lied to me. Then God says, no, he's righteous. He does not lie. For you, why were you there to be lied to? Praise the Lord. God says, who are you to say Abraham lied? Abraham is righteous. So don't be there to what? But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said, indeed you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, Lord, will you slay a righteous nation also? Did he not say to me, she's my sister, and she herself said, he's my brother? In the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hands, I have done this. In other words, you have the wrong man. God says, no. There is no integrity. Me, I don't know integrity. Me, I know Abraham is what? Righteous. So even when he like, now you look at what this guy did. And God said to him in a dream, yes, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart. So also I withheld you from sinning against me. Imagine, he's not even saying sinning against Abraham. He's saying against God. Eh? Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Now, therefore, restore the man's wife, for he's a prophet. and he will pray for you. The liar is praying. He's the liar. He's the one praying. Eh? And he will pray for you and you shall live. But if you not restore her, know that you shall surely die. You and all who are yours. So Abimelech rose in the morning, called his servants and told these things in their hearing. And the men were very much afraid. So Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, what have you done to us? Have I offended you that you brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? You have done deeds to me that ought not to be done. Then Abimelech said to her, what did you have in view that you have done this thing? Then Abimelech took sheep and oxen and male and female servants and gave them to Abraham. And he restored Sarah his life. Can you imagine the guy lies and gets... So the guy lies to somebody. And God goes for the other guy. And the guy has to take sheep and oxen and servants. I'm sorry, I was there to be lied to by a righteous man. Now that's the... And now this is even the second time Abraham was doing it. The first time they gave him gold for lying. So he says, here are sheep and oxen and what? Forgive me for being lied to by you. For the crime of being lied to. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. It is well with us who fear the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is well for us who fear the Lord. We are covered. The Lord is a shelter for his people, and nothing shall we be afraid of, because the Lord is our righteousness. They shall surely assemble, but not of me, says the Lord. Whosoever gathers together against you shall fall for your sake. Amen. God bless you.
That was The Watchman. Do not miss our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa. For previous recordings, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at ugwatchman. Instagram, the_watchman256. For inquiries, please contact us via email, info@ugwatchman.com. You can as well call us on +256 780-292-5555 or +256 755-292-555. The Watchman, the King is coming.